This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jordan Palmer, former NFL quarterback, Carson's brother, but he has carved out an incredible niche working with these players and tutoring, and he's the star of ESPN's Draft Academy show. He is on the rise, and he has been for a couple of years, doing great work. Jordan's with us now on the show. Jordan, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm just in Nashville and running around right now and trying to figure out what's what. But it's been a blast leading up to this event, and a bunch of guys' dreams are going to come true.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's cool because you have your hands on these guys in a unique way. Let me back up real quick. I think we asked you this last time we talked to you, maybe not. How'd you get into coaching these kids and creating this business, this enterprise, to be a tutor for them? It's QBSummit.com if you want to go check it out. Or at Jordan Palmer on social media, but QB Summit. How'd you get involved in this, or decide to do this?
Well, you know, in the beginning, I had always been coaching, and I was blessed to have a brother who was an absolute superstar who was born to do it. So at a really young age, I realized that when I did what Carson was doing, it didn't look the same. So, unfortunately, and I could always explain it better than I could do it, which is also unfortunate because there's a lot more money in doing it well than there is in explaining how to do it.
Yeah, I hear you.
But no, I was always coaching. When I was in college, I was running a program called the Elite 11, working with kids around the country. When I got into the NFL, I was, I basically would tell all the high school kids in my area, you can come train with me. Just, it's free. Just bring receivers so I can throw to them. And I kind of fell in love with helping guys develop. And then also you look at the second part of it and you go, well, if you lined up 100 NFL quarterbacks and asked them where they learned the most ball from, I think that most of them would reference an older player before they would reference a coach. And it's that idea that an older veteran in the room can speak to you a little bit differently. The first time I really did draft training, though, I was actually playing for the Bears. So I was backing up Cutler in Chicago, and I spoke at the rookie symposium to some rookie quarterbacks about their offseason and the things that they were complaining were really hard. I didn't think should be hard. And I was like, what'd you do January, February, March? And they all kind of got stronger and faster and nobody really taught them anything. And I said, and then the next year, I'm training somebody for the draft. So I went to a facility, and the first guy that walked in the room was Blake Bortles. I'd never heard of him, didn't know who he was. Shook hands with him, explained to him what I would do with him. And I did it at a facility. I told him, hey, I'll train whoever comes in the door if you let me train here for free, because I was still playing. And I had a blast. He went third overall. He got better.
Nice.
I trained another guy. And then
you better start training him again, by the way, Carson. You better start training him again.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan, pardon me.
No, yeah, I helped him get ready for the draft, and he was the third pick.
Yeah, that's right. So you did your job.
And he's made a bunch of money, been a great pro, and is an unbelievable guy.
Hey, but at the end of the day,
so
that's all you got
to do. Work with a bunch of great guys now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Blake, as much as people wanted to hate on him, actually had a pretty decent little run there with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll see what happens. But let's focus on the guys this year, because that's what we were talking about leading into the draft, which starts in a couple days here. Drew Lock is interesting. He's exciting. Sometimes you make some of these throws, the touchdown he threw against Alabama, it's like, man, that's a pro throw. But then he throws some bad interceptions as well. When you look at these guys and you go through their mechanics and some of their strengths and their flaws, are they aware of them? You know what I mean? Do they know what they're doing right and wrong?
Yeah, I think guys are pretty self-aware nowadays, because they have to deal with a lot more. Young quarterbacks have to deal with a lot more than guys my age or older than me had to deal with, because they didn't have peer review happening in real time.
Yeah.
You know, college quarterbacks, the game ends and they go into their locker and they can see how they did on Twitter. And so that instant feedback can be really, really damaging, but can also start to thicken up your skin and develop some ability to deal with adversity. So these guys are pretty self-aware. The other thing is I'm not trying to train the top picks in the draft. I like working with the guys that I think I can help a lot. Some of those guys get drafted high.
Yeah.
Last year, Kyle Allen didn't get drafted, and he's ironically the one that I spent the most time recruiting to train. So for me, it's more about the guy being a fit. And so I just kind of end up with the guys that work really hard, need a bunch of help, are going to be, you know, they're on a path towards reaching their potential, and they're all in, and they hang on every word, and they do the quiet, lonely work that you have to do on your own that it takes us to succeed in this league.
Yeah, I mean, we all think, we look at some of these beautiful golf swings on tour, these buttery, explosive, fluid motions, and the way that's perfected, banging balls when nobody's looking, ball after ball after ball, and it's really no different. It's about repetition, it's about mechanics, and it's about angles, and it's about things that you really can't compromise. And I'm curious, we're talking to Jordan Palmer with us here on the show, Tiki and Tierney. What is, independent of the players that you've trained so far, When you evaluate quarterbacks, what are two things that for you are non-negotiable? Meaning, if said player does not possess, Jordan Palmer does not think they could flourish in the NFL.
I would definitely say work ethic is the first one, and not, you know, getting two more reps than everybody else. It way more on the mental side, right? But you have to be able to be all in on this, and this has to be a career and a business, and you have to treat this as if it's everything. And then the second thing I would say is toughness. Just the idea that you could go through a whole season without getting hurt is just, that's not realistic.
Yeah.
And I've played with some guys that were too soft, and I played with a bunch of guys, you know, who had plenty in that category. And that's just what it takes. I don't think you have to be tough to be great. I think you have to be tough to make it, even get a crack at it.
Interesting.
And so those are two things. The other one that kind of encompasses both of them, it's not something I look to for guys that don't have it, because not all that information is always available, but I look for it in players, is a track record of them handling adversity well. So when I met Deshaun Watson in high school and I heard his story, I wanted to work with him before I ever saw him play, because I said, if this guy handled that level of adversity at that age, that's a pattern.
Yeah.
So other forms of adversity aren't going to be that big a deal. So I always look for somebody who has a track record of handling adversity really well. Jarrett Stidham was the man of the house when he was 16. Tyree Jackson had very limited resources around him at a young age. Drew Locke at University of Missouri, his true freshman year, he's not supposed to start. The starter gets in trouble for off-the-field issues. And then all the race stuff happened in the state of Missouri, and they were almost boycotted a game.
That's right.
And here's this 18-year-old freshman who has a room full of people who have no idea what's going on. They're going to boycott the game. The school's shut down. They want the president to resign. And he had to corral that group. And so I look for things like that where I go, ooh, young age, handled adversity well, and that's kind of the first threshold that I'm looking for.
That's pretty good stuff. Jordan Palmer's with us, former NFL quarterback, 8 years in the league, quarterbacksummit.com, or get him on Twitter at Jordan Palmer. He's talking quarterbacks, talking shop here on Tiki and Tierney.
You mentioned Tyree Jackson, and the story around him is the big kid from Buffalo, huge, like 6'7", 2, whatever, 50, 60. But he's never had a QB coach. Working with him, what flaws can you immediately fix?
Well, I think a lot of times when guys are raw, and the only person I can compare him to, I'm not forecasting this level of success this early. Could happen. I'm not making a statement about it. The only thing I can compare him to is when I first started working with Patrick Mahomes. He was going into his last year at Texas Tech, and Cliff Kingsbury called me and said, "Hey, I got this really special kid, but really raw." That's the only comp I really have on Tyree. But with Tyree, I can articulate it as this. He's the coolest ball of clay I've ever had in my hand because he's 6'7", 250. That's cool for fans to look at and ooh and all over, but he's twitchy and explosive. We haven't had a quarterback in the NFL who's 6'7", and twitchy and explosive, right? Guy ran 4.59. And you blink and he's hanging from the rim, you know, and he's playing basketball. Very explosive athlete.
Yeah, not Paxton Lynch.
With him, but it's about getting him to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I hear
you.
So
it's actually not about changing the mechanic. It's about picking the one that is most efficient and building muscle memory around it. So I didn't draw on a piece of paper how I want him to throw. Through working together, we figured out what the most efficient elements of his stroke, I call it, of his stroke were. And then we just build drills around him maintaining consistency there. And it is not a three-month thing, right? The stuff that I worked with Sam Darnold on last year, he has to continue to improve on, right? This is not some off-season thing. And so with a guy like Tyree, who had a lot of mixed messaging on how to do things. You know, he played in a good program at Buffalo, but before that, he was watching YouTube videos in the backyard throwing through a tire. For a guy like that, with his competitiveness and how intelligent he is and how athletic he is, he's a guy who got a lot better really quickly, and whoever drafts him, they're going to have a very different-looking thing very, very quickly, because this kid is all in on ball. This is all he does.
Yeah.
But he's also a 3-5 student who's explosively athletic and coachable. So yeah. I see somebody like that, and I go, ooh, that guy fits in a lot of teams.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be a little bit of a project, but that's okay, especially you don't have to be a starter right away. One of the guys who could be a starter right away that you're working with this year is Drew Locke. He's the one that's projected he's one of the four that's projected in the first round. Not that all four are going to go in the first round, but when Drew gets into the league and he gets a chance to compete, I know he has that because you can see it. Like, he's got that competitive nature. He's a little bit quiet. What kind of quarterback, leader / player will he be immediately if he's put in that position?
Well, I think the most important trait in a quarterback, and this one's just hard. You can't just get this off of a conversation, right? You got to know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
The most important trait, TK, I'm curious if you agree with this, is competence.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to command the huddle.
Far away, second.
Yeah, you got to command the huddle.
You got to be confident enough in your ability to be a problem solver. Because it might be a protection issue that we need to address at the line of scrimmage. It might be your receiver room is in chaos. It might be, you know what I mean? The gambit of problems you have to solve. So confidence becomes that. And then you talk about a young guy playing early, right? Nowadays, first round picks are expected to play for the most part, right?
Yeah.
When Carson was the number one pick, my brother Carson, when he was the number one pick, they sat him the entire year because they weren't really starting rookies back then. That wasn't necessarily in the 70s, right?
No.
It wasn't that long ago.
Let me ask you this, though, Jordan. Let me ask you. You think that's bad for some of these guys? I mean, I know why they do it, because they got to make a decision, right? They got to make that fifth-year option decision by the end of their fourth year. Or actually before their fourth year. So I know why they do it, but it can't be good for them because some of them, I mean, the confidence that we're just talking about, it gets battered. Like Josh Rosen is a perfect example. I mean, he was terrible with the Cardinals last year.
Yeah, I absolutely. I would love for everybody to sit. I said, you know, people asked, should Deshaun Watson, do you think he's good enough to play as a rookie? Yes, I'd love for him to sit.
Yeah.
I'd love for all these guys to do that. But there's a lot of experience that can be gained. So it really is delicate how you play a rookie quarterback, because I look at Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, two guys I trained last year.
Mm-hmm.
They competed all offseason to become the starter. Josh, I think, was the starter like second game or halftime or something. Sam started week one. Then they got hurt. I think both of them were hurt for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Different injuries.
Yep.
Then they got to come back. And so if you look at that, they had, I think, the perfect rookie year because they got to play, they got to sit and watch. Then they got to come back at the end, and they finished with momentum. Nobody is wondering if Josh Allen or Sam Darnold is the franchise quarterback there. Nobody's wondering that, right?
No.
Talking about taking a quarterback in the second round, right? And so they got a chance to play, sit, and then put it all in place for about 4 or 5 weeks, end on a good note. Now all this offseason they're trying to do is improve, whereas with Josh Rosen, who struggled, his team was terrible, the coaches got fired, personnel issues, all this, he also is having to rebuild his confidence this offseason, I would assume.
Yeah.
That's a whole other that's a part-time job on top of a full-time job. So I think it's very delicate how you position these players as rookies. And without knowing until we get to the, you know, Saturday of the draft and we know where the dust settles, the key ingredient for having a guy who can thrive in that is a confident player. And that's for sure what Drew Locke is.
Sounds good.
Jordan, good stuff. Yeah, really man. Good stuff. QuarterbackSummit.com. Jordan Palmer, 6 years in the NFL. Obviously, boy, they must have a good time throwing the ball around the backyard every day growing up with his brother. But
I got a lot of blisters on my hands.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Listen, I have been a Jets fan my entire life, and I know we have a special one in Sam. Not a doubt in my mind that as you ran through, by the way, you talk about adversity. His first professional pass was a pick six in Detroit. Brought back, he comes back, he throws almost 400 yards the rest of the game. They win. He gets hurt. He gets better when he comes back. So I agree. Same for Josh Allen. These kids are incredibly talented. You did a nice job tweaking them as well, and we'll be following quarterbacksummit.com. Thanks, Jordan.
Jordan, we got to try to catch up down in Nashville. I'm going to get your number from Samter because we'll be down there tomorrow.
Perfect. Yeah, I'd love to talk shop.
Be good, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.